get this recorder going, get the old hold button going. Okay. All right, so I do have handouts. Hopefully I have enough. I only printed, I think, 20. Notice they are single-sided. You know, I'm always known, I like to have like 6-8 pages on a handout. This time I was like, man, I'm going to keep her down, single-sided. But I've got like 100 slides in this deck. I always hate that at work. You know, we have a sales meeting or something, and you know, it's like 100 slides. I got to lose this. All right, so we're going to talk about spiritual gifts today, or actually for the next few weeks. This is a big subject. It's a confusing subject. It's a subject, really, to be honest, it's not taught very often or common. You know, it was really cool of Steve to want to do this study, because that got me thinking. I've been here at HBF for quite a while, and I don't really know if I've sat through a, you know, spiritual gift study. It's something Baptists kind of tend to shy away from, and I'll get to all that. We're going to talk about a lot of stuff today, if we have time. Oh, Diane, so Sherry. Yeah, Sherry's not here today. We're leaving for Branson at like 1 or something, and she got behind. And
she's watching them. She's on.
Oh, is she?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told her I'm going to use her a lot.
Oh, that's why.
But then she asked me not to, so I've got to.
No.
I don't know. I'll have to.
And now you can't.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I didn't think she'd be there. I wasn't sure. Yeah, you can sit there. Because spiritual gifts is really cool. It's really helped me a lot over the years. I got saved in 83, November 23rd of 83. So I just had my birthday, my spiritual birthday. So I'm an old man, spiritually and physically. But when I got saved, I really didn't hear much about spiritual gifts for years. I didn't even know anything about them. In the mid-80s, you guys know Tim LaHaye. He did the Left Behind series. Back in the 80s, he wrote a couple books about the temperaments. I don't know if you guys ever... He wrote a couple books basically about why do we do the things that we do. This is like in a church setting in ministry. Why do we react the way we react? Why do we say the things we say? And it's because we're all different, and we have these different, he called them temperaments. And there were, and I was going to the Baptist temple at the time, and I was in D1. And our D1 instructor, Tim LaHaye came at the subject kind of from a psychology point of view, not really a spiritual, biblical point of view. So my discipler kind of bent that towards spiritual gifts. And then that made a lot of sense. And since then, I've continued to kind of learn about it. And it's a really cool subject, and I have, so what I wanted to do, it's a big subject, I don't want to get too deep in anything, but I wanted to kind of set up, after 2 or 3 weeks of talking about this, these are my goals that I have for all of us. First, we want to know what are spiritual gifts. I mean, it kind of sounds spooky in a way, because it's the society we live in. So we're going to define this. What are spiritual gifts? Was I given a spiritual gift? You know, me, you, all of us. We'll answer that question. I'll show you where that's at in the Bible. All right. So if I'm given a spiritual gift, how do I get it? I want this. God has it for me. I want it. What other gifts are out there? You know, is this a pick and choose thing where I can pick my gift? If I don't like it, you know, what gifts are available? And you know, just spoiler alert: you can't change and you can't pick it. God will give it to you, and there you go.
It's like you got blonde hair or brunette.
Yeah. Well, even we can change that nowadays. All right, very important one. We got to know this. How do I know what my spiritual gifts is or are? I'm not good at grammar. I think that maybe should be an R, but
yeah.
And this is what's tragic, because I think a lot of people that don't study this don't realize that they do have a gift, and they don't learn what it is. And if you don't learn what your spiritual gifts is or are, because a lot of us have more than one, I'm sure everybody in here does. If you don't know what your gifts are, then you may be frustrated in ministry. Maybe you're trying to do the wrong things. You know, you're teaching like the kids instead of, you know, working in the parking lot or something. I mean, you're doing the wrong thing for your gift. So it's important to know what our gifts are. So I'm going to help you guys figure out what your gift is. If you don't know. Does anyone know what their gifts are? Yes.
I have the gift of gab.
Well, that's a good gift.
Spiritual gift, but not.
Well, you know what's cool? Over the years, like Belinda, I know a lot of you guys' gifts because I work close with all of you. Belinda's is definitely service, and same with Larry. Kevin's is prophecy, and Pam's is exhortation, I think. So, anyway, it's Pat's is prophecy and exhortation. But anyway, it's really important that we know what our gifts are. Does anyone else think they know what their gift is?
I'll say.
Belinda?
I feel sometimes it works as something to pray for people when I haven't seen them or been around them for a long time.
Yeah, that is good. That's a good gift. Like a prayer warrior.
Prayer warrior.
Yeah. Pam, yes.
We just did a small review recently in HPI, so it's kind of fresh for me, but I ended up the gift of administration.
Oh, yes, I can see that.
And mobilizing. So just knowing that, you know, because we all think there's a right, there's a certain way to do things, to do ministry work.
Yeah.
And it's all based on our gifts.
It is.
If you don't understand the gifts, you misinterpret what people are doing, and you
offend
it, and there's divisions that occur.
Yes.
People walk away from ministry because they don't understand what their gifts are.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. That's exactly where we're headed today, is because not knowing your gift and not knowing others' gifts can kind of be detrimental, and we work better as a machine if we all understand. I wish we all had tags. Actually, next week, hopefully we will, because we're going to get into that more next week. Where's my clicker? Here it is. All right, So we'll hopefully this series we'll all learn what our spiritual gift is or are, and then kind of where Pam's going with it, what does God expect me to do with it? So we're going to cover some of that. All right, and this is kind of my big bullseye. This is, you know, this is again kind of what Pam said. Knowing your gifts and knowing others' gifts will help us improve our relationships with others, improve your relationship with God. And very important, you can use your gifts to fulfill God's plan for your life. You know, this goes back to D1 days. You know, we all know as believers, God has a will for your life, that you be conformed like in the image of Jesus Christ. And then He's got a plan. You know, He wants you to be something for God. And by knowing your gifts, that will help you get your plan. He's given you unique abilities to do that. So, all right, any questions? That's on the handout, like the very top. And growth. I mean, this is all about growing. So, actually, let me look at my handout here. Growth. All right, so, first, we're going to define some terms. And this is, you know, I'm going to kind of keep it a little simple here. There's really two gifts. I don't want to hit our TV. I'm bad in the Mighty Warriors about hitting the TV. But all right, there's two gifts we're going to talk about over this series. The first one is the gift, you know, singular, of the Holy Spirit. That's a gift. The second gifts, plural, are the spiritual gifts that we've kind of been talking about. The unique traits, abilities, desires, passions, motivations that we have. So those are the two gifts. So let's define these guys. The gift of the Holy Spirit It was promised by Jesus. And these are those famous chapters, John 14 through 16. Before Jesus left us, before he left, and he was crucified and left, you know, he didn't leave us as orphans down here not knowing what to do. He told us that when I go, I'm going to send you the Comforter. You know, most of us are familiar with that passage. He's going to send us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit is going to abide in us forever. It's going to give us peace and comfort. It's going to teach us all things, bring us in remembrance what Jesus said. It's going to guide us. You know, these are the famous, now it's going to reprove the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment, and glorify Christ. These are the functions of the Holy Spirit. Should be pretty familiar to most of us. Alright, so I'm going to just kind of look at the verses a little bit. I have. Alright. This is the actual verses and where Jesus says, I will pray the Father and he shall give you another Comforter. I wanted to highlight Bible study 101, when a title is capitalized, yes, then it's a person. We're talking about a person. That this Holy Spirit's going to abide with you forever. The Spirit of Truth, you know, capital, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. He will dwelleth with you. He shall be in you. This is one of the many verses that talk about the Holy Spirit at the time of salvation resides in the believer. Because he doesn't leave us comfortless. And again, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. So now we've defined who this title is. It's, you know, just kind of basic Bible here. It's going to teach us, bring everything into remembrance what Jesus said. You know, he goes away, he gives us the Comforter. Now where I'm kind of going with this, the Holy Spirit is for you. The believer, when you trust Christ, he will come and guide you in all truth. And you know, we're familiar with this verse too. He glorifies Christ, and anyway, I'm not going to read the whole verse. I don't have time, but let me get forward. All right. Yeah, I'll get there in a second. I'm going to get ahead of myself. All right. So that's one attribute of the Holy Spirit. It was promised by Jesus. It's given to believers, all believers. And this is another attribute of the Holy Spirit. It's given fully to believers. And this is where, when you get saved, when you trust Christ for salvation, the Bible is very clear that the Holy Spirit comes in, abides in you. We just seen the verses. And you get it fully. You get all the Holy Spirit that God has for you. And the reason I'm saying that, because there are some of our other denominations, some of our other brethren, I believe they're saved, but that they believe that you really don't get it all, that you get more of it as you grow and he gives you more insight. And that's really not a biblical position at all, that we do have it fully. And I like this verse in Ephesians. In whom also ye trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. This is a very familiar verse, but if you kind of look at it a little more, we were sealed. You know, this you've probably heard the analogy of the kings back in the, you know, medieval times. If they wrote a letter, you know, they would roll the scroll, the little letter up, and they'd put a piece of hot wax to seal it. And then they'd use their little signet to seal it. So then the messenger would deliver it, and the recipient would know that this has been sealed. And that's what the Holy Spirit does with us. God gives us the Holy Spirit to seal us, that no one's going to mess with that. And that is sealed until the redemption of the purchased possession, which is our souls, until we go to be with him, basically, until the redemption of the body. But it's... So anyway, we're sealed. While you're on this earth, when you trust Christ, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit. And you get it fully. You get all there is to get. There's no second giving of the Holy Spirit. No baptism of the Holy Ghost. But we'll kind of get to some of that in a second. Make sense?
Yeah.
Very simple. All right. Now, if you compare them, those are the two. Gift number one, we all get the Holy Spirit when we trust Christ. Gift number two are these spiritual gifts. And I think I put this on your handout. Yeah, I did, on the next slide. It's the special talents, abilities, desires, and motivations that God gives believers to equip them to serve God and others effectively and successfully. So, it's a big sentence. But the spiritual gifts are really, we'll get there in a little bit, but they're the motivational gifts, kind of like what Pam is talking about. It's the gifts that He gives us that kind of make us who we are, and it's our core desire to do certain things, and then we're all different. And we'll kind of get to, we'll flesh all this out as we go. So, two gifts. The key difference is, the Holy Spirit is a gift for you. It's to teach you about God. It's to help guide you in life. It's to help comfort you. You've seen all the yous back in John. The spiritual gifts are really for others.
That's good.
It's for you to help other people. It's given to believers. When you trust Christ as your Savior, you get both these. And it's to equip, enable, and motivate you. God put in, He at the time of salvation, I kind of envision, He must somehow like hardwire that person to now you are motivated now to give. Or you're motivated now to preach. Or you're motivated now to teach. You know, and it becomes a core part of that person's being that motivates them to get up and do stuff for others. It's also given to help comfort, guide, and teach others. See, it's kind of different than the Holy Spirit. And very importantly, it must be identified, used, developed, and exercised. Because if you don't know what your gift is, then you're really not going to fulfill, you know, that calling. You're not going to help others to the potential that God wants you to. Does that make sense? Am I tracking? Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because when I was putting this together, I thought of Sherry's family. They're Christmas. You know, it's funny. This is cool that this is at Christmas time. We're talking about gifts. Sherry's family is very kind of chaotic at Christmas. And everybody just starts passing out presents and you're unwrapping stuff. And it's very common, like if I'm unwrapping a present out there, it might be like girls' house shoes, you know, size 5 or something. I obviously have the wrong present. The present wasn't for me. It was for others. You know, that's kind of the way the spiritual gift is. God has given you a gift, but it's not for you, necessarily. It's for others. Alright. So we talked about what are the spiritual gifts, kind of high level, we talked about that. Was I given a unique spiritual gift? And you could probably, you know, realize the answer is yes, you were. These are the key verses in our Bible that talk about the gifts. And we're going to go through a lot of these verses. We'll probably go through all of them before the study's over. On your handout, I did put the blank. I think it's on the back. Yeah, on the handout on the front, you could probably fill out that, the two gifts. On the back of your handout, we'll fill this out as we go, but that's why I left the verses blank, so you can actually write down Romans 12. It's easy to remember because it's 12 and 12. These are the two main lists of gifts that we're going to talk about. Alright, so was I given a gift? Yes. Anybody got that jotted down?
Yeah.
It's on the handout.
Not yet. Jim, I wanted to say this.
This is very relevant. When we first came to this church in 2005, they were still meeting over at the Christian school, and there were only like two adult classes. And Brian and some other people were teaching a series, but it was an overview of the Bible. And I remember thinking how rich the series was, but some of the teachers at the time were just people that Brian needed help teaching. And but I kind of became frustrated. I'm like, this is great material, but the teachers are just kind of reading it to me. And that's kind of how I became a teacher. This morning. I was like, Brian, you know, I would love to help teach this if you need me. And so that's kind of how I became
plus.
A teacher.
Six
of the class.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Very nice.
And, Brian had other stuff to do, and the other people were doing a good job, but they weren't really gifted in that way. I hope that doesn't sound bad to anybody listening, but I think they would agree with me. So anyway, that's kind of how I became a teacher in this class. Is I do love teaching, and so hopefully people think I have a good teaching. I'm not motivated to do that, so that.
Yeah, that's a good point, because misapplying a gift, you know, that's like I was saying earlier, if you're doing the wrong thing, it is frustrating to everyone. All right, so I had to get some more coffee.
You also learn as you're teaching.
Sure, more so.
Learn more than usual.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Because people ask you questions, and they're like, that's a good question.
Yeah, you want to be ready. Yeah, that's for very sure. I think I heard somewhere it's like for every 1 hour you teach, it's like 10 hours of study, which for me, that's like half of what I put in some hours. So, all right, so everybody got this. We're going to talk about these verses as we go. These are just verses that describe our spiritual gift. How do I get these gifts? You know, I've already alluded to that. It's through salvation. And I wanted to put this little graphic I put together. It kind of helps me understand. I love graphics. I teach the kids, you know, over there, and I'm always using graphics. Because some of them can't read, so I have to use graphics. All right, here we go. These are the unsaved folks of the world. You know, I was in here. We were all here at one time. Hopefully we're all up here now. But when we trust Christ as our Savior, like I said a while ago, we get these two gifts. We get the Holy Spirit, and we get this motivational gift that motivates us to serve. Well, also, when we trust Christ as our Savior, we get put into the family of God, which the Bible describes as the body of Christ. You know, because the church is likened to a body. Christ is the head. And these are some of the verses that talk about these gifts. And all these people here have this gift, these spiritual gifts to serve others. Let's see what. Okay, I'll kind of leave that there. And here's some of the verses. So that, to me, that's a good visual. I'll leave that. Any questions on that? That's how you get your gift, by trusting Christ as your Savior. And then you're put into the family. You know, I might mention too, if you have the gift of teaching, you're not necessarily a pastor. The offices are different. If you have the gift of, you may be a pastor, but have the gift of mercy. That's your motivating gift, because you feel sorry for folks. You know, and that's how you reach the unsaved. You have mercy and compassion on them. So you're a pastor. So we can't pigeonhole a gift, you know, a pastor as a teacher or whatever. So, all right. But we'll get to that as we go through them. All right. What gifts are available? All right. So here's where it kind of gets fun. First, when we open our Bibles, open the New Testament, we come across this list. I call this the strange and scary list. Because when you start looking at this, I don't want to stand in front of anybody, but, you know, raising the dead, casting out devils, taking up serpents, You know, we all know there's people in Kentucky and Tennessee that are doing this. Should I be doing this? I don't know. People drinking poison. There's churches that don't drink Drano because they have that gift. So should we be drinking Drano?
No.
All kinds of signs and wonders. Healing by Peter's shadow is healing people in Acts. And this healing by hanky, you guys, anybody remember Robert Tilton?
Yes.
Yes. That's where he got this. When Paul would use a hanky, they would mail that to somebody in the book of Acts, and they would heal them. So.
Huh, I don't remember reading that.
Do we have that today? So this list, this is the strange and scary list that I'm going to refer to. We're going to table it for now because we are going to address this head on. But I will say, because this is strange and scary, a lot of churches don't want to tackle the spiritual gift issue because they don't know what to do with this. You're just like, well, I don't know what to do with it. I don't want to teach on it, so I don't know what to do. Yeah.
Were you supposed to pray over your food before you eat? And then they say it's an improvement that praying over your food is beneficial to you and you won't get sick.
That's true, because they actually did that with Elijah. Remember they had the pottage? It was poison. He healed people. In the Old Testament, that did happen. Mm-hmm. So what we're going to do, we are going to tackle this head on. I'm going to show you guys exactly why these are not for us, but I'll get to that in a bit. So let's just table these guys. And let's look at this list. Now we're on safe ground. This is, these are Paul's lists. And these are in that list that I gave you guys a while ago and you jotted them down. These are the three categories of spiritual gifts in our New Testament that are available to us. These aren't so scary. And we're going to go through each one of these. We're going to read some of these verses in a little bit. First, this list over here in Ephesians, like I mentioned, these are offices. Nobody really has the gift of pastoring. I mean, they do, but that's not a motivational gift. That's an office. These are offices. Functions in the church. Next, this list is called, we call this manifestation gifts. And actually, Paul calls it that when we get to these verses and read them. You'll see he calls these manifestation gifts. These are gifts. Well, I'll get to the definition in a second. That's the second list. The third list, motivational gifts. And this is where we're going to hang our hat for the next couple of weeks. Motivational gifts are the gifts given to us that motivate us to serve others and to be a part of the kingdom and all that. So we're going to get to know this list very well. Any questions on that? Okay. All right, so I want to untable that one for now. Let me get on here. All right, so yeah, that's the definition. I think I just defined them. Those are given to the church. And here's the verse that you guys wrote down a while ago. This is the verse in Ephesians where he says that, Christ gave some apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Those are offices he gives the church for the edifying of the body of Christ until he comes back for us. That one's pretty easy to see. That's just, those are offices. Alright, manifestation. It's a little hard to describe these because these are around. But they're the super, this is the best thing I could think of to define them. They're supernatural abilities and demonstrations of the Holy Spirit's power. They can come on a believer, given as God wills, but they're not something that abide in the believer like a motivational gift does. So an example I could think of would be like some of our missionaries. If they go into some remote village and they're speaking a different language, I could absolutely see God giving them through the Holy Spirit the ability to speak in that other language. and that they would understand it. I mean, I believe that goes on today. Which is very different than the speaking in tongues that we hear about the churches do, and we'll get to that. That's something different altogether. But these are manifestations. This is the Holy Spirit doing something through a believer. You need to, and it's showing the Holy Spirit's power. It resides in the Holy Spirit. They're doing something through you. You know, if you're out street witness and you're doing IGO and you all of a sudden you got some words of wisdom that the Holy Spirit's given you to give to that person, that's kind of what this is. This list here, when Paul calls them manifestation gifts. Yeah.
I have an example of the discerning spirits.
Yeah, that's another good one.
Two different occasions where I believe that the Lord gave me the ability to discern a very evil spirit.
Man, I've had that too.
Walking into or through a door.
Yep.
And it was when I was doing case management. And I believe that. It wasn't because I didn't have a fear of things.
Yeah.
But I know that the Lord allowed me to know that there was a powerful spirit in that room.
Prepared you for it.
Yes, and I didn't. I didn't walk in. Well, I didn't.
Yeah.
I walked to it and opened the door, and then I walked back.
Yeah, that's cool. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that happened to me at work like 20 years ago. I was actually at Marion Laboratories. I met this lady, and something just, man, you just know something's wrong here. This is evil. And I did find out like months later that she was like a witch, and she was into all kinds of Wiccan stuff.
Yeah, it's different than just having a conscience of, well, I probably shouldn't. This is probably somewhere I don't need to go.
Yes.
It's totally different. It doesn't happen every day.
Yep. Yeah, you don't walk around with that.
Years, no. Yeah.
You'd be like Sixth Sense. You're seeing dead people or whatever. I mean, that would be weird. And scare people. But yeah, that's a good example of the manifestation when the Holy Spirit's doing something through you. It's not a, so anyway, we got that. Here's a few of the verses. This is the manifestation verses. And I like this passage for a couple reasons. One of them, Paul tells us, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Very cool phrase. Paul uses this phrase seven times in our New Testament. So there's really seven things that a believer is not to be ignorant about. And this is one of them. And it's a good study of all seven. But anyway, this is the spiritual gift. So every believer needs to be aware of this, the spiritual gifts. And then he goes through, you know, talks about how they, you know, that you were Gentiles, you were unsaved. Let me kind of skip down. Oh, man speaks by Spirit. It's talking about the Holy Spirit manifesting and moving on people. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit, you know, He's controlling all of it. Differences of administrations with the same Lord. Basically, the Holy Spirit's pulling all the strings in a believer's life. And then it says the manifestation of the Spirit is also given to everyone to profit everybody. And this is that list that we looked at, the manifestation gifts. To one is given the Spirit of the word of wisdom, word of knowledge, faith, healing. You know, I don't believe in faith healers, but obviously God can heal. Mm-hmm. And I think He can heal through our prayers. And I believe He gives us at times, the Holy Spirit will manifest that healing power through us. Working of miracles, to another prophecy. Now in the New Testament, I'll just mention this real quick. The word prophecy, that's also kind of a scary word. That's not talking about telling the future necessarily. That's talking about proclaiming God's truth. In the Old Testament, the prophets would proclaim God's truth. And sometimes that dealt with future things, but sometimes it was just God's truth now. And so in the New Testament, it's prophecy is like proclaiming God's truth. The discerning of spirits, Pam talked about. You know, I've had that one. Different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. These are all things the Holy Spirit can do through you if needed. And they're all worked by the Holy Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Very cool passage. Any questions on any of that?
Well, I'm glad you brought this up about healing, even, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
I was just listening to a YouTube thing, and it was just a young man, and he said how he had prayed for an atheist, that God, because the atheist was getting ready for an operation, and like a Achilles tendon or something, and sure enough, he found out later, like the next day, this atheist called him and said, "I don't think I need surgery now. I'm like healed." And so, I mean, my antenna kind of always goes up. But I mean, this is helping.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit can manifest in those kind of ways, where he can heal and take away that infirmity. And
I believe that's the way it is.
Just maintain that as a possibility. God can do this.
Yeah, just like tongues. I mean, it's not like all these things. Yeah, the Holy Spirit, we don't want to limit God. God can do all of this stuff. All right, so moving on. Now, the motivational gifts. This is, like I say, we're going to hang our hats on this for a bit. These are spiritual gifts that God has given to all believers. We all have them. That motivates us to minister to others. I had a couple of things here. They motivate us to service. They compel and inspire us to act in a certain way. It helps answer that question, why do I act this way? Why did I say that? Why did he say that? Why did she do that? It all makes sense when you kind of think about the spiritual gifts that everybody has and what they have. Is Sherry still online? I'm going to launch into a tirade.
No, it's hard to say.
I was explaining, we were talking about this the other day, I was telling Sherry kind of how, I was trying to kind of explain the motivational gifts. And I was telling her that if you were sitting at home in your jammies, watching TV, you know, and you get like a...
That Steve's coming over.
Yeah, Steve-O's coming over. It's coming. No. But you get a text or something that, you know, they need somebody to teach.
She's there, just so you know.
Okay. Hey, Sherry.
I'm here.
If you get a text saying we need somebody to teach in the kids' wing, and you're, you know, you're drinking coffee and you're jamming, you teach in the kids' wing. Can someone teach in the kids' wing? And you're not a teacher. You're like, scroll on, no big deal. But if you had the gift of mercy, which is Sherry's gift, that's one of her gifts. If you have the gift of mercy and you got a text that such and such family is having a hard time and their kids haven't ate today, then she is like off the couch, getting around to go help those people, because that is what motivates her. If you have the gift of mercy, you're going to be motivated to help others in need more than someone else that maybe had another gift. And we're going to talk about all the gifts, but that's what I mean by motivational gift. What gets you up to serve? Like the greeters. We need greeters, supposedly. If you're, if that's not your gift to be outgoing like that, then, you know, maybe that's not a good gift for you. You may be abrasive or something, I don't know. But knowing your gift will help you fulfill the needs in the ministry. And then knowing, actually I have a cool, we'll probably get to it next week. I have some cool analogies of why we react the way we react, but, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself. But that helps answer these questions. When you understand other people's motivational gifts, what motivates them? Why ain't they getting up and doing something? Well, they're not motivated to. They have different gifts than you do. It's not a burden to them. It is to you. So there's our list. Seven of them.
Now that right there was a good point. That you may wonder sometimes, why is it this person helping do
that? Yes, why aren't they doing this?
So, I mean, I had to get over that because, I mean, I had to come to the point where I need to run my race.
Exactly, yes.
And so if this person does or doesn't do that, it does change.
It's not a motivation, motivation. Like Ryan asked somebody to teach, and because they're a believer, they stepped up to teach, but if that wasn't their motivation, that wasn't their gift, it just frustrates things. All right, so let's look at what Paul says about these motivational gifts. This is a very familiar passage. This chapter is about Christian character and Christian living. You know, where Paul starts out, you know, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. That's the least you can do, is to give up everything for the Lord. And then to be conformed to His image, the will of God again. The Holy Spirit's given to every man according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. We all have different amounts of the gift that we have, I believe. I don't want to tarry too long on that. All right, then he starts getting into the gift part, where he's comparing the church body again, like that picture I had. The church body is like a body. We have many members in one body. All members have not the same office. We don't all have the same gift. Which, what a nightmare that would be. If we all had the same gift, that would be terrible. God knows what He's doing. So we, being many, are one body in Christ. Like that picture I had. And in Christ, everyone members one of another. That's why, like, we're all holding hands. We're all members of this. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. So that means there's different amounts of the gift, perhaps. Whether prophecy, you know, proclaiming the truth, let us proclaim that truth according to the portion of faith. Or ministry. Now ministry, this word here that Paul uses, is like the word that we would use for like deacons and serving. So in our context, we're going to use serving for here. Like I said, definitely Larry and Belinda are strong on this because they are always serving. Actually, a lot of us are. But those guys I've worked with a lot in the kitchen. So serving, let us wait, you know, waiting on our ministering. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth, the exhorters are the cheerleaders in the church body. They're the ones that see the potential that you have and want to encourage you to get there and to help grow to that potential.
Sherry's
a good one. Pam is a good one. Exhorters are usually counselors. You're right. Teaching is usually a one-to-many type thing, whereas exhorters are more one-to-one. They're counselors. They sit down. They encourage people. Sherry would never stand up here, but she will exhort and encourage people, you know, in the hallways. So that's good, Belinda. All right, so he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. You know, not making a big thing. Or he that ruleth with diligence. Now, ruleth, this word, is to like lead or to be out front. This is like what we would call administration. Like what Pam said her gift is. Like administering things. Leading a project. Steve's definitely high in this one. You know, he could lead a big project or a little project. He ruleth with diligence, and he is extremely diligent. And
I wouldn't have guessed that about myself.
Oh yeah, to me, when I was going through these, I was like imagining everybody in here. These last few months, I've been working on this. So hey, we got ruling, so we got administration with diligence. I was just thinking that. All right, so then mercy. Mercy's the seventh one.
You need to share that with the class.
No, I do not. Mercy with cheerfulness. People are merciful. All right, so that's our list that we're going to talk about. So, now, I wanted to point this out before we got too far. Those are gifts. People in this room have different amounts of those gifts. However, as believers in Christ, we should all have all of these gifts in some measure. Right? I mean, these are all good qualities of a believer. We should all be, and these are verses that back up that we are all to have all of these gifts. We should all be truth, proclaiming the truth. And that's the verse there. We should all be serving. You know, we're all in this together. God calls all of us to serve one another. Here in Galatians, teaching. We should all be teachers, whether in the home, your friends, at work. We're all teachers to someone. And that's what that verse is. Teaching and admonishing one another. We're all on the hook for these. Exhorting one another daily. We should all be encouraging each other. Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. So the indication is an exhorter is kind of a warning, you know, letting people know that, hey, you can do better than this. You need to stop doing that or start doing that. They're concerned with the growth of someone. Exhorters. They're the cheerleaders. Giving. We should all be givers. You know, every man according as his purpose and his heart, let him give. We should all be givers. And we all are rulers. We should all be ruling, administration. Even if it's our own family, the flock of God could be your house, could be your kids, your grandkids. You are to look over your family that God has given you in your sphere of influence and rule and lead them. So, make sense?
Yeah.
We're all to have these. Alrighty. Let me get on. Oh, there's mercy. Last one. I didn't realize it was a spillover. We're all to have mercy.
Bowels of mercy.
Yep, bowels of mercy. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. So, all seven we should have because, as we know, Christ embodied all of these, of course. He is our example for every one of these gifts because He did it, you know, perfectly. So, those are the motivational gifts we're going to go through.
He would be the end sample, wouldn't he?
Yeah. There's a quick comparison. I wanted to just kind of compare them again. The motivational gifts, practical, service-oriented. They're for you to serve others. It's your personal contribution to the church body. And it lives in you. It is hardwired into your psyche. You cannot help but give if you're a giver. Or if you're a mercy, you cannot help but to show mercy or teach. It's hardwired into you. It's your motivation. Whereas these, we talked about the manifestations, these are when the Spirit can come on somebody to do something that he needs to do. Any one of us can have any of these also. But they're not living in us all the time. And we read those verses and did all that. So that's the motivational gifts we're going to highlight. But I want to go back and address these scary gifts before we get out today. Like many things in our Bible, like many teachings, whether it's baptism, salvation, gifts, I can't think of any offhand, but it all comes down, having a good understanding of those key fundamental doctrines all come down to the knowledge and understanding of covenants and dispensations. Now this is a big old study that we're not going to get into here. I'm just going to kind of like, we're just going to dip our toe in the water. I'm just going to like show you a little bit how this works. Because we know this verse, very familiar verse. Study to show thyself approved. We're to study the Word of God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. You know, you study the Bible. Rightly dividing the Word of truth. Which that implies there's a wrong way to divide it. And there sure is. So there's divisions. That's also what it's implying. There's a right way of dividing it, and there are divisions in our Bible. Well, the big one, obviously, is Old Testament, New Testament. That's a division. But beyond that, there are seven or eight divisions, which... Uh-oh, there it is. Did I go too far? Uh-oh. Oh, man. See, even talking about this stuff, my clicker's acting up. All right. This is a handout I passed out many times because there's a lot of subjects that, like I say, there's a lot of subjects that the understanding of dispensations clear up. So it's really a good foundational thing to understand. But this is one of the handouts that I've talked about with the dispensations that are in our Bible. This is kind of confusing, and we're not going to get into all the detail. But basically, for our study, wow. There. I just made it simple. God has dealt with man differently through the ages. And so when you open your Bible, He has dealt differently with Adam than Noah, than Abraham. He's dealt differently with people. And we all know this, but well, how does this have to do with spiritual gifts? All right, here's how. People were saved differently through our Bible, in a way. They were all saved by grace through faith. And we know this verse in Ephesians, we're all saved by grace through faith. We're all saved by grace through faith. But it's in doing what God said. And He has said different things to different people. All the people in our Bible are saved through grace, God's grace, through faith, but by doing what He said. So, Adam, before the fall, he was saved by grace through faith by not eating that one tree. Well, he messed it up, you know, snake come in. Well, now Adam is saved by doing what God said, to till the land, swear the brow, you're going to have pain in childbirth and all this kind of stuff. That was the agreement that he made. That was the covenant that he made with Adam and Eve. Noah, he's saved by preaching the truth and building a boat. He's also saved by grace through faith and what God said to do, build the boat. That's how he got in. Abraham, believing God's going to make a nation of him. You know, Moses, the Levitical tabernacle, all the sacrifices. That's how they were saved, by grace through faith and doing what God said. Does this all make sense?
Keep the law, yeah.
Now the church age, and when Christ came, we fulfilled all this. We are saved by grace through faith, by trusting in what Christ did on the cross for us, to being our replacement, our propitiation for our sin. That's how we're saved. We got the best deal. When I first got saved, I went to a Baptist church up in Independence, and I don't know if you guys ever heard this little thing, that the Old Testament saints were saved by looking forward to the cross, and the New Testament were saved by looking back to the cross. You guys heard that? Not true. Not true at all. According to dispensations and covenants, they were all saved a little differently by doing what God said. So, that leaves us with this little transition period right here. And that is a special time in our Bible when the kingdom was at hand. I'm not going to get into all the detail there, but Jesus was on the earth working with the Jews. He was their Messiah. This is kind of what we call the apostolic age. Things were a little different during that period. And that's when this stuff was going on. All these scary miracles and things that they were doing was at the request of Jesus. You know, this is when he's sending them out, doing these things, to be signs to the Jews that I'm the Messiah, you're my representative, and the kingdom is at hand. So, all these scary gifts ended by the end of Acts, because Acts was a kind of the transition of this period. So once we get into the church age, those scary things have went away, and we're living squarely in Paul's list of the motivational gifts. Does that make sense? If a person doesn't understand dispensations and covenants, then those gifts are for you. You can go get a rattlesnake, or you can drink Drano. But it's just them not rightly dividing. So that's Paul's list. So, I got a few minutes. I'm going to buzz through this real quick. One of the reasons I did this, you know, we just finished the American Heritage series. And in the 1700s, the United States was doing very well. You know, we just got the Constitution and all that. So that begs the question, how did we get so messed up on this gifts and baptisms and salvation and all these other things that are going on today that they didn't seem to have problems with in the 1700s? So we're going to look at what happened in the 1800s in America. It's really cool. It's very unique. Because I love history, so it's interesting to me. All right, God's moving in America. We just got the Constitution, all that's going on. We're square in the middle of the Philadelphian period of church history. Religious freedoms are going on in the United States because now we have religious freedom. There's an explosion in missions. A lot of Bible societies are starting up because now in America we have all this freedom. It's good stuff. The Second Great Awakening's going on. Queen Victoria is on the throne in Britain, so the call to purity and good moral living is high. All the denominations are growing in the 1800s. So this is good. Well, the devil doesn't like that. So this is how the devil started counteracting God moving. There's a growth of universities. The Oxford movement is real interesting. It's kind of the anti-Reformation, where the Catholic Church is trying to get some of the doctrines put back into Protestantism. I'm not going to get into all that, but Origin of the Species. Darwin came out in the 50s with this book, which changed a lot of stuff. A lot of archaeology discoveries were going on. A lot of the codexes that we have now that corrupt our Bibles are being discovered. And these two guys, we all know these, the corruptors of the Bible, big fans of Darwin, were buddies with the guy that started this, John Newman, and they came out with their corrupt Greek New Testament. So by the end of the 1800s, Christianity is, you know, it's going down. And that's why I like this statement. The unparalleled religious freedom in America resulted in a rise of false teaching. Because now you got that bad influence of the universities, the Oxford movement, Westcott and Hort, affecting Christianity. Which gave rise to the American cults. This is a unique thing with America. In the 80s, Walter Martin came out with a book called The Kingdom of the Cults. This is something that other countries have not seen, is a rise of cults in their society. And in the 1800s, we got hit pretty hard in the United States. The Shakers, they come on the scene. They, just like, you know, dancing in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit coming over people. They started preaching that kind of a Pentecostal doctrine. The Mormons show up in the 30s. Seventh-day Adventists come out. Fillmore, the Unitarians, you know, we got their thing up in Lee Summit. The JWs, Christian Science, and the Pentecostal movement. All these movements came about in the 1800s in America. You know, the other countries don't see this stuff. These are American cults. And because of that, especially the Pentecostal movement, with a not rightly dividing the word and not knowing what to do with the gifts, have messed up a lot of the denominations of today, which kind of gets back here. Yeah, see, I'm going to skip that. We covered that. Any questions on that? I'm kind of going fast now. I'm running out of time, but all right. But that's one of the reasons these things exist. These people that are messed up on these gifts because of those influences. All right, so those are gifts for the church age believers. All right, I did want to get to here. This is where we're going to end. I put this on your handout. On the back, this site, this church growth site, I've taken a lot of these spiritual gifts quizzes, and this one here is by far the best. So what would be so cool is if you guys get some time, go to that site. They do make you register. I mean, it's totally free. But basically, they ask you around 110 questions. And it took me like 30 minutes or so to go through it. The questions, I was brutally honest when they asked me questions like, you know, how much do you study your Bible? You know, how much do you pray? How you know, willing are you to give? They ask you a lot of questions. I've taken it twice and the questions were a little different. But they ask you a lot of questions. I was just brutally honest. Nobody was looking over my shoulder. And then when you're done, they give you a report of the gifts. I redacted mine. I'll show you next week. But they give you a list of the gifts and where you score, and it was like spot on, my gifts. And I also give you a little, they give you your top three gifts, and they give you a little write-up about your gifts, you know, kind of help you understand them. It was really good. So I encourage you guys, it would really be fun if we were able to do that this week. And then next week, we could talk about who's what. And I'll show you what mine is. And then I'll also show you where you rank to other Christians and pastors and things like that. Anyway, that's the site. And it's on, I put it on your handout, so it should be easy to find. It's very cool. All right, so now, what I did do, I don't think I brought a copy. Next week, we're going to start getting into the seven motivational gifts. And what I did was I made like a profile sheet for every gift, so there's seven pages. So, like the first one's prophecy. You know, a description, it's a little profile sheet, prophecy, a description of what the gift is, some people in the Bible that had that gift, some facts about the gift, some character qualities of people that have that gift. So if you don't get a chance to do this, as we go through those character sheets, you're going to be reading them as like, oh my, this is me. And it's really cool. It's really fun. But hopefully you can go there this week and do this. But next week I'll have those profile sheets. I don't want to pass them out today.
Do you have to register that at the end of it? Or?
At the beginning, they wanted my email. Oh, I didn't skip. I just gave my email. They'll be spamming me from now on. So anyway, that's it. Any questions? We're done for today.
I like what you said about the apostolic gifts were for that season.
Yeah, a little time.
Transition. And I know Mark talks about confirming the word with signs.
The sign gift to the Jews. All right, so let's pray. We'll get out of here. Let's see if you care to
drink. Yep. All right, let's pray. Just Heavenly Father, we do conclude our time together this morning. It's just been good to talk about your word and just to see on the screen here, Lord, just how you gifted your body and how you want it to function. And Lord, we do pray that we can grow in the areas that we know we're gifted in. And Lord, if we're unsure, I pray you'll reveal just in the next week or two here what our gifts are and how we can better serve you in these last days. And we'll be careful to give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right.
Thanks.
Oh yeah, best. All righty.
Go above and beyond, man. You got that.
I don't know. That is Holy Spirit. It's for you, and that's for others.
I've heard and seen a lot.
A girl like 2 years old, and there was a pair that was off the side of the floor.
Holy Spirit.
The old man.
That's funny, I've seen that. There you go. Oh, that's a whole bunch. Let's see here. I'll do that. I'll actually fill it in for you.
Staying warm out there?